We can imagine what it might have been like to be the apostles in the upper room on Easter Sunday when, in a totally, and I say that with a bit of sadness, totally unsuspectedly saw our Lord enter through the closed door and speak his words of peace to them. Peace be to you. It is I, fear not. We hear the evangelist, his account of how the apostles were frightened and troubled and then joyful and still not fully believing or understanding. And while they were still in wonder, our Lord asked them to give him something to eat. He spoke to them. He told them that he was not a ghost. Ghosts don't have hands and feet. He showed them his wounded hands and feet, and they were still beside themselves. So he ate with them. And then at the end, he explained to them how it was all prophesied in Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, and that it was meant to be just as it had happened. We ourselves, at times, are incredulous in regard to the way that God asks us to suffer and to sacrifice and sometimes to bear crosses which we would never choose for ourselves and which are imposed upon us by daily duty, by our vocation, by things completely beyond our control, such as perhaps sickness or the sickness or death of a family member, or the crosses that other people in our lives put on us. Sometimes we find it very, very difficult to understand why God would allow these things to happen. Sometimes people even are angry with God, will remonstrate with God about their problems and difficulties and the crosses that they carry. And then we've all experienced from time to time how we see our Lord's providence lift us out of the difficulty, or at least bring us consolation or some kind of confirmation that he is present. That doesn't always happen, but when it does, we find ourselves ashamed of our lack of faith. But we should also be joyful, as the apostles were. When our Lord came to them on Easter Sunday, he did rebuked them, but before he said anything, he told them to have peace. Peace be to you. And he tended to their needs. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me to have. So he wanted to completely reassure them of his presence and of his reality, and gave them exactly what they needed. And so while they were terrified and frightened, they were also joyful. And for us to move forward in the spiritual life, while we need to repent of our sins and have true contrition for those sins, true contrition does not necessarily mean emotional sadness or despondency, certainly not despondency. True contrition may not even have any ostensible emotional effects. True contrition is a firm resolution not to sin again and to avoid the things that lead us into sin, such as the occasions of sin, purses, places, and things that lead us into sin. It's the willingness to make restitution for the offenses against justice. That's real sorrow for sin. And if we have that, it is compatible also with joy and confidence, recognition that Christ is present. Wherever or whatever difficulty we find ourselves in, the best response is the response that's going to take us forward into the will of God and into his healing and strength. And very often, after a fall, what is needed, perhaps more than anything else, is faith and confidence. And if it leads us, that faith and confidence leads us to fulfill our duty more perfectly, to be more resolute in avoiding occasions of sin, and of being, you know, more humble and willing to accept God's grace on his own terms, then that is what we need to have. And it is, you might say, infinitely more valuable than a kind of sorrow or despondency that crushes and discourages us from going forward. So we have to understand what true contrition really is, and that it's perfectly compatible with joy and confidence. In fact, very often depends on it. And so our Lord encouraged his apostles on Easter Sunday to turn away from their lack of faith and for their infidelity. Remember, every one of them except for John had failed our Lord on Good Friday. They weren't there for our Lord when he went to the cross. And even Peter betrayed our Lord. But our Lord didn't hold that over their heads when he met them on Easter Sunday. That wasn't the context. The context of his remarks wasn't, where were you? Didn't you realize what was happening on Holy Thursday and Good Friday? No, our Lord's words had nothing to do with that. It was about their healing and restoration to grace and their understanding of the resurrection and its power. And so on this Easter octave, during this Easter octave, we pray that our faith may be strengthened and that we may go forward in joy and confidence in the power of our Lord's resurrection.
Jesus.